All right. Good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing tonight? Doing pretty good. Good, good. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody has had a good week so far. And it has been a cold one. Brr. It's been very cold. And but anyway, of course, they're calling for a wintry mix perhaps on Friday. And well, I believe I heard 3 to 6 inches of snow around these parts. And even higher, in the higher elevations. But we'll just see how it goes. Expect the grocery stores to be filled and packed with people. Oh, well, according to her, she's still going. Yeah, according to her, she's still going. She has her post-op appointment on Friday, and she is just wanting, she's wanting to get back in school so bad. I think it's more for the fellowship with her friends than the actual schoolwork. But she just wants to see her friends. She wants to go back to school. And, of course, she's, you know, she does have work to complete. They're going to a new semester, or at least they just got their report card. And now they're going back, new semester. So but she's looking forward to that. And so I told her, I said, well, we'll go. I said, hey, if they call the doctor's appointment off, I said, we can't go. There's no way we can go because they called it off. And I said, I'll just let you know if you can go to school or not on Monday. So they're supposed to be releasing her. But Lily's doing great, and had her out today a little bit visiting or going to the store, rather. And she's just really, really, really chomping at the bit, ready to get back to the everyday life. And Lord willing, they'll be back Sunday. Christy and Lily, Sunday morning at least, and then again, Lily for school on next week. But we did chapel this morning there at Grace. Of course, not in the church. The church is sold, and but we were in a classroom, and I tell you what, you put everybody in a classroom that's spread out in a sanctuary, it's a full room. I believe I counted about 50 teenagers in that little room. But we had a good time there, and Mr. Will, one of the teachers, Facebook Lived it on the school page, and I had everybody say hey to Lily from there, so she heard it this morning, so that was touching. But had a good time there, and just looking forward to the message tonight and being able to present again today from God's Word. And but again, it's good to see everybody, and I hope everybody's been doing good. So let's dive right into things as we take a look at our bulletin. Continue to remember Miss Lucille Turner as she recovers from her broken hip, and Miss Diane Ely in her back, Jim Jr. in his foot, the Palmers, Leonard Dolores, their daughter Kim. Also, I got word earlier about BJ being sick. And also Miss Nancy Farmer. Did anyone hear? I believe she had a fall. I don't know if let's see here. Miss BJ has upper respiratory infection. I'm not sure about the fall with Nancy Farmer, but she does have back issues. And so I appreciate those updates earlier that came in. And so let's just remember them. And good to have Miss Marianne Sanvey back with us. Been out sick for a little while. And it's definitely going around. The children's home, they're at home tonight because there's been several sick and not doing well. And so Brother Brian is keeping them there on campus tonight. And so I said, please do that. Please stay. You know, just take care of yourselves and get better so y'all can come back Sunday. But remember them in your prayers if you would. And just everybody else in the prayer request side of the bulletin. I'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has a request or a praise, something to mention tonight. Hassan, we'll remember your mother. I know you shared that with me a moment ago. And so let's remember her in our prayers, some things going on there. And good to have Brother Jeff's sister with us tonight. And what's your name again? Marianne. Why not? Why not? Another Marianne. I love it. I love it. And why not, you know? And Got Mary Rich over here behind Mary Ann. And let's see, we got Mary Kay, Mary Kelly. And so we've got some Marys around here. And so you fit right in, Miss Mary Ann. So good to have you. You're welcome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes. Sure will. Thank you for sharing that. Absolutely. Good to see Eli and Chrissy in the sound room back there. Appreciate you guys helping out like you've been doing. And good to see them. Anybody else? Anything at all you need to mention, want to say? We'll say we are in January, new year, and got a lot of things on the calendar. Jubilee is right around the corner. In March, and so remember that March the 2nd through the 6th, I believe. 2nd through the 6th. So that Sunday through Thursday is going to be a great meeting. Doing a couple things different this year, and be on the lookout for updates with that. And let's see here. Had a great service Sunday night over at Lighthouse for those who went. Did y'all enjoy that, those that went? Had a great time, and some great singing going on over there, and great preaching. Just a great time there. All right. Well, just trying to make sure I'm covering all my grounds. And I guess if nobody has anything else, we will take a time to go and have an altar of prayer like we do on Wednesday nights, of silent prayer. If you'd like to come forward, you can and pray. You can pray right where you're at. But we'll just take this time to pray, and time of silent prayer. I do want to mention this as everybody's come, as they're coming. We've got a flyer for singing right here on January 16th at 7 o'clock, Bethlehem Baptist Church. If you're interested in that, that flyer is right here. All right? All right. After our prayer, and I'll toss it over to Brother Jeff for a song.
from within, fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sin. Lord, prepare me be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living
appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, tried and true. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we bring the Lord with us everywhere we go, don't we? And so He wants a vessel that He can dwell in and to use. And I pray that He'll allow me to be one of those vessels tonight. All right. If you have your Bibles, let's make our way over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9, for a few moments. Luke 9, and we're going to look at two verses, verse number 23 and 24. And I just want to take a second and recognize those who are watching on Facebook and say that we appreciate you that watch faithfully every week, and all of those who share and like and all those things. We appreciate that. It means a lot, and it helps the gospel message get out. So appreciate you. Those even listening on our live stream, audio only on our webpage, we are thankful for those that listen as well. All right, well, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read verse number 23 and 24 out of Luke 9. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Help us, Lord, tonight to just be that vessel that you could use. I pray for every person here that you would guard their minds and hearts within the next few moments, Father, so that your word can fall on good ground. And as we leave, Lord, help us not be forgetful hearers of your word, but be doers of your word. I am thankful for the body of believers that came together tonight, bearing the cold. Lord, how sobering it is as I stand because of the eagerness to hear the word that they have. So, Father, I pray you'd use us tonight. Use your word. Honor your word. Bless the hearts of your people, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "And he said to them all." He said to them all, not just to the faithful disciples, Peter, James, and John, but he said to them all, those that were listening and the multitudes, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." We could continue reading on down through these verses and attempt to point out some other things, but I want to just rest with these two verses tonight. I want you to notice two words in verse number 23. There's the word cross. He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So there's the word cross. But then in verse number 24, there's the word lose. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. With those two words tonight, I like to bring a message, a lesson, a devotion, simply entitled Crosses and Losses. Crosses and Losses is the subject matter tonight. These two verses deal primarily with the cost of discipleship. You know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, I have referred to this verse recently, and I do refer to it often, but John 6, verse 66, John 6:66 says, "Many at that time chose not to follow him, and they walked away." They walked away. Many were following because of the miracles, but when it got down to the message, many didn't accept the message. Jesus talked about, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And, of course, it's symbolic to his life, death, burial, and resurrection. And many just walked away. It was hard to hear. And so, and you know, in our day, there's many people who follow the Lord for his miracles. What's in it for me? They follow the Lord for a blessing. But for the message, they don't follow, because sometimes in the Word of God, there are hard sayings. Sometimes we're offended at the Word of God and what the Bible says about life and what God expects from us. And so we're living at a time where many are departing from the faith and walking away because they are following for the miracles and not the message. Well, the Bible tells us here that there are some crosses to bear, and there is a life to lose. You know, there is a price to pay in following Jesus. There's a price to pay for gaining access to his power. Don't turn there, but in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, Paul says, "That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." If we want to know him more, if we want access to his power, there's a cost in that. There's a cost in that. There's a price to pay for experiencing a close walk with God, not just access to his power, but a close walk with God. James 4 in verse number 8 says, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you." And so we mention that verse, we throw it around, draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. And that's true. We ought to go after God. We ought to chase him. But the verse prior to that, verse number 7, says this, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That word submit, it means to subordinate, or to be subordinate. It means to subject yourself under God and his authority. And so he says, when we subject ourselves, when we subordinate ourselves, submit ourselves unto God and his rule and his authority, the Bible says the devil will recognize that and he will flee. But I think many times we try to fight the devil off, Brother Ceylon. Many times old Justin comes along, "Oh, devil, you ain't gonna get me today." And he just sits there and he says, "Oh boy, you don't have a clue." He calls on one of his, what I call, demonic dominions and gets after me, and it's no time before I'm defeated. But if I submit myself therefore to Christ, if I render myself subordinate to him, subject myself to him under his authority, why, I'll face the devil with the armor of God. I'll face the devil with the promises of God and the provisions of God. And because of that, he will flee from that. But he won't flee from me, and he won't flee from you. But there's a price to pay. There's a cost there to walk in victory. There's a price to pay in order to have access to His power. And there's a price to pay in following Jesus. Many think, well, I got saved, so the battle is over. Not so. It's just starting. And I'm not saying that to discourage anyone. You know, when you get saved, the battle is not over. It's just the train you get on, the salvation train, and you start moving forward. And there's hills and valleys to experience. But not trying to be discouraging, but getting saved is the conception of new life. When a person accepts Jesus as their Savior, new life is conceived. Almost like a lady in travail, a lady in childbearing, a lady who is pregnant. There's the conception part. And then there's the travail part. There's the birth pains. And so the lady that has new life on the inside of her and new life is growing, there's a 9-month period. There's 3 trimesters. I don't know, that was 17 years ago with Lily. I think it's 3. 3 trimesters, and closer you get to that 9 months mark, there's disturbances. There is pressure. There is pain. There is trouble. I can remember it was around midnight. We were coming. Late Saturday night, 17 plus years ago, we ate, I believe it was Mexican, me and Christy. And then we went to bed. She woke up. It was Sunday now. Justin, I'm hurting. I said, honey, it's probably the Mexican. Let's just, you know, give you a little medicine, go back to sleep, you know, eat you some Tums. She woke up again. I'm hurting, Justin. And she said, if I wake up again, we're going to the hospital. And so she woke up that third time, and I grabbed my little book, What to Expect While Expecting, you know. And I was trying to read. And I said, oh, yeah, it says call the doctor or go to the doctor. I said, come on, let's go to the doctor. And we went. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning over at Cobb Hospital, and she was halfway to delivery at that point. And then about 3 o'clock that afternoon, actually at 3:16, Lily was born. And you know what happened when Lily was born? We forgot all about, well, Christy probably didn't forget about all the trouble as much as I did, but we forgot about all of the toil, all of the sorrow, all of those pressures and cramps, and we rejoiced because Lily was with us. And we're still rejoicing to this day. Well, when a person gets saved, there is the conception of new life, but then there is the travail part. We struggle, we wrestle, we war, we fight our way through this life, we follow Jesus, but then there'll come the day when He will come get us. And then all the struggle will be over because the child will be here, so to speak. The baby will be born. All right? We will be overjoyed. But until then, until that time, there's crosses and losses. There's crosses to bear and there is a life to lose. You say, wait a minute, life to lose? Yeah. I looked up the word paradox today. And a paradox is a statement that seemingly contradicts itself. Look, if you would, in verse 24. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Well, wait a minute. If you save something, you're not going to lose it. But then he says, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So, well, that don't make sense. If you lose something, how are you going to save it? It's a paradox. There is some truth to this statement or these statements, but it seemingly contradicts itself, but it's not contradictory. We'll get there in a moment. But there's a cross and there's a loss. Number one, notice the cross. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so there's a cross to bear when it comes to these crosses. And I say crosses because he says take up his cross daily. Daily. There's going to be a cross tomorrow that I will have to pick up. You will have to pick up. What is a cross? A cross is a symbol of shame. It was, you know, it was a grievous way to die. It was terrible for the Jew to die. And so a cross is a picture of death. A cross is a picture of humility even. And so it tells us that we are to pick up our cross daily. There ought to be a daily death. And so there's a cross to bear. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He says, I die daily. He says, I pick up my cross. It's heavy. He says, I put the cross on my back. It's uncomfortable. I have to move forward. It's exhausting. He says, I go to sleep and I wake up the very next day. Repeat. He says, but there's a desire to live right. There's a desire to take up that cross. Paul says in another place that there is freedom and there's liberty when you're living for Jesus. And so there may be a cross to bear, but there's also a recompense. There is liberty, there is grace, there is mercy. So it's worth the cross bearing. Each and every day we live, there's a new cross to take up. Matthew 6:11 talks about the daily bread. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You see, the Lord will give us bread today, spiritual manna to eat. We read His Word and we get fed each and every day. But tomorrow, I can't feast on the bread from today. I have to go back tomorrow. And that reminds me of the manna that came down, God rained down on the children of Israel back in the Old Testament. It was to be eaten that day. It wouldn't be no good for the next day. And on that last day, you got double for Sunday. And so that was the only time, but it was good for each and every day. And so we're looking at a marathon when it comes to the Christian life. We're looking at a cross we have to bear each and every day. We all got dilemmas. We've got situations. We have problems that occur. We have intersections we come to in life where decisions have to be made. And each and every day, we have to, as the Scriptures say, take upon you my yoke. Learn of me and my ways, and you'll find rest to your souls. And so we got a cross to bear each and every day. Psalm 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Life is one step at a time. And so there's a cross to bear each and every day. There's a word to read. There's food that comes to feed us each and every day as we read His Word and listen to teaching and preaching. All right? And so we have the crosses. There's a cross to bear, but then there's a choice to make. Notice again in verse number 23. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me. It's a choice. Will you go after God today? Will you go after Him tomorrow? It's a daily choice. Used to work out with weights back in the day. I loved working out with weights. Used to go to the gym. In fact, that's where I got saved, is the gym, Iron House Fitness in Smyrna. But I can remember thinking about going back to the gym the next day and picking up those hard, heavy iron weights. I would have to pump myself up mentally to pick them up. But I did, and I picked them up, and I enjoyed it when I did it. Almost the same way with the cross. There's a heavy cross tomorrow that we have to choose to pick up, but it's spiritual fitness to us. And so it's a choice. It's a choice. In fact, I need to pick up some more weights, physical weights. I'm back on my walking regimen again, praise the Lord. I didn't walk today because it was an iceberg today. But there's a choice to make. If any man will come after me, and the way to find purpose, the way to enjoy God's provisions is coming or going after Him. Sometimes He leads us through the valley. Sometimes He leads us through the mountaintops. Sometimes He calls us out of the boat onto waters. But nonetheless, there is a choice to make. We have promises and provisions allotted to us, free for the taking, but we have to choose. Think about Adam and Eve when they chose the forbidden fruit. She ate it, then he ate it, and it had a green worm right in the middle of it. That's not in the Bible, but, you know, they bit that apple. God said, don't do it. They bit that apple, and it was a green worm laughing at them. Huh? Adam and Eve, they chose that forbidden fruit. They had all the other trees to eat from. They had all of these liberties and blessings. But why in the world did they choose that one? Because that's just like humanity. Well, a couple different reasons. Number one, God wanted to be chosen. He didn't create robots. He wanted to be chosen. And by the wrong choice, it tainted the bloodline of man. But God wanted to be chosen. He didn't create robots. But also Eve, she was beguiled by the serpent. She was beguiled by him. Now, before the fall of man, it is believed that the serpent was a beautiful beast that stood up. And then after the fall of man, God said, on thy belly will thou crawl all the days of thy life. That's how we have snakes. I told that to the kids this morning at school, and they're like, wow, really? I said, that's how we have snakes. God cursed them. You know, we're not a snake handling church. Don't worry. No snakes around here. But they had a choice in the matter, and they chose. They did not choose, so to speak, the cross. They did not choose, so to speak, the loss of their own choice, but they went through and they accepted the fruit. Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 19 says this, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So it's all about making right choices. And I know I'm telling the senior crowd this tonight, but still, even being older and experienced in life, we still have to make choices, don't we? Still have to make choices. He says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You know, we're seeing families degenerate in our days. We're seeing people get out of church in our days, and it's because those that are the parents, those that are head in the home, they're not choosing life. They're not choosing to take up their cross and follow Jesus. They're not choosing to, many of them aren't choosing to lose their life so they can find it in Christ. And because of that, not only they're being affected in a negative way, but their seed is being affected in a negative way. There's a family degeneration taking place. Somebody has to stand and be held accountable. Somebody has to stand upon their watch. Habakkuk said it. He says, I will stand upon my watch. I will be at my post. I will be sober-minded. I will be alert. I'll be watching. I'll shout. I'll scream when the enemy comes. I will defend my people when the enemy comes. That's what we need in our day. We need to continue at our post. Sometimes We get sleepy spiritually because things aren't moving like we want them to, and the winter and the cold doesn't help at all either. And so all of these things happen, and before we know it, we have fallen asleep on our post. You know, Peter, James, and John had a post. Jesus said, "Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation." And they fell asleep. Jesus was getting, near the transition of life to death, to back to life, and getting ready to be betrayed and all of that. And his disciples were asleep at their post. You know what he said? He went to them a couple times. He said, "Y'all guys, y'all just sleep on. My time is at hand. I'm about to be betrayed, and the Father's plan will be fulfilled." And so we see here the crosses. There's a choice to make. So let us continue to choose the right things and reap the best benefits. And so when it comes to the crosses, there's a cross to bear. There's a choice to make. But then there's a Christ to follow. Verse 23 again. "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Very elementary teaching tonight. Very simple, practical teaching. Very simple devotion. But it's still true. There's two ways we can live our life. Following Jesus or following the world and the world system. Doing what He wants us to do or do what we want to do. There's a Christ to follow. When we follow Christ, we will follow His plan. We will walk in His purpose. It's the great adventure following Christ. Following Christ, we learn how to stand. As a baby, they grow up and they fall over. And the father picks the child up and come on. I can still remember Lily. She used to sit down and she'd scoot on that kitchen floor. Everywhere she'd just scoot. And then one day she wanted to walk. And boy, when she got to walking, she would follow me everywhere. All through the house, follow me. You know, we follow Christ. We learn how to walk. We learn that we can be fed by His hand the same way that we feed our children is the same way that our Father feeds us. We learn that there's a Christ to follow, but there's a price to pay. And that's at least what we can do by Him ransoming our souls is following Him. And so He has a purpose. He has a plan. I love what Isaiah says, 55 verse 9. His ways are higher than our ways. You know, you hear me say sometimes in my prayers around here, "Lord, we don't always agree with your plan, but we submit to it." And I mean that because, you know, I go back to recently the big event in our life, Lily's surgery. I don't agree, Brother Ceylon, with God to choose that plan for us. I mean, does a tragedy in your life, something bad happened, do you agree with God that it was the best thing? No. You don't like it. It don't feel good. You're out of your comfort zone. But when you get past it, you look back and you see God had a reason. He did. He really had a reason. We may not always agree with His plan, but He has a plan, and it is for our good and it's for His glory. His ways are higher than our ways. They're higher than our ways. And so let us trust Him and His plan, although we may agree or disagree. He's Lord, and so we follow Him. And so there's the crosses when it comes to this subject tonight. The crosses and the losses. Now, let's look in verse number 24 for a moment, and we'll bring it to a close here shortly. There's the losses here. He says in verse number 24, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And so there's a life to lose. don't make sense, does it? I mean, just on the surface, it really doesn't make sense. You see, Lord, I'm not trying to lose my life. I mean, I'm trying to find my life. But it's a paradox. Because in God's economy, the way to find your life is by first losing it. Losing it in Him. Giving your life to Him in salvation. Giving your life to Him in service. Giving your situation to Him that you don't understand. You're trying to find reasoning in your dilemma. You're trying to make sense out of it all. You can't. Guess what you're to do? You're to give it to Him. In fact, when it comes to this verse 24, he says, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, same shall save it." That word lose there, the second word lose here, in that context of that phrase, it means to abandon. To abandon. It's like getting a bag of trash, walking it to the street, opening the lid and throwing it in there and closing it. You walk away. You've abandoned that trash bag. In like manner, that's what the Lord wants us to do. We are to abandon our lives in His control. We don't understand. Abandon the situation to Him. We don't agree with what He's doing, yet He's God. He knows what's best. Abandon that situation to Him. Because I promise you, the more you try to figure it out, the more you try to put your finger on it, it will drive you crazy. Anxiety, fear, and worry, and struggle. Of course, this is the process of learning. And so He says, "For whosoever will save his life," that word "save" there, it means to protect. "For whosoever will protect his life will lose it." And so, save his life, protect his life, guard his life, meaning the safe life, meaning life in the boat, meaning afraid to take a step, afraid to trust God with your life, your situation. It means no self-denial, no dedication. And so when we save our life, we lose God's best. When we save our life, when we take a step back on God, we retreat, we don't trust Him, we don't experience His miracles. Peter was the only one that got out of that boat. The others were in the boat of safety, and Peter said, "Lord, if that's You, bid me to come out on that water." The Lord said, "Come." He just gave him a word. He said, "Come." He got a word to stand on. He got out of that boat, but he wasn't looking back. We've got people in our churches all across the land who have never gotten out of the boat. Never knew or understood what it was like to experience a true miracle in their life. Have you ever experienced a miracle of God? I'm sure you have. I'm sure you could testify that things were going badly and you didn't have sufficiency and yet God showed up and God showed out in your situation. That sharpened your faith. That built you up. You learn that God can be trusted. But He says the person who stays in the boat is the one that's going to drown. That don't make sense, does it? But we're talking about a paradox here. Oh, I'm not getting out on that water. I'm staying in this boat. I don't want to drown. But in God's economy, He wants us to get out of the boat and walk on water, or we will drown. God is calling each and every one of us to some degree, at some point in time, or the other, to get out of the boat and walk on water and experience His miracles. All right? There is a mindset to lose. There is a reasoning to lose. There is a life to lose. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. There are so many people that are not. Look at all these empty pews. And I'm not categorizing everybody. But the reason for a lot of empty pews is because people are trying to save their life. Isn't that funny? This is the place to go to save your life. Oh, I've got endless amounts of work, and I'm not saying anything against people that work. We're supposed to work. I'm not saying anything like that at all. But what I'm saying is people, they're trying to find their calling outside of church. They're trying to find their purpose outside of church. They're trying to find what to do in this dilemma outside of the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And they've fallen away from God. They are losing their life because they're trying to find it. It would be amazing if we had a Wednesday night crowd without even one pew available. Wouldn't that be something? It would tell me something. It would say there's a lot of people that are wanting to save their life. And so they are abandoning their own schedules. They're abandoning and forfeiting their own events and things that they would like to do because finding their life is high on the priority list. They got to be a father. They got to be a mother. They got to be a grandparent. So they want to come to the house of God. They are losing their life that they may find it in the Word of God. What a blessing tonight. Again, the subject is crosses and losses. We have a cross to bear and a life to lose. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. In conclusion tonight, I'm definitely not pinning no roses on me. I'm just not. But I'm giving all the credit to God. But I got to where I'm at, has been in the ministry for 15 years. Right at 15 years, pastoring, been preaching for 20 years. And I didn't get here. And the blessings that we have and how God has taken care of our family, seeing Lily through, we didn't get there by trying to get there. We didn't get there. Yeah, we work hard. Yeah, we do those things. We do all those. But we got here where we're at. We've seen the miracles of God. We know He'll provide because we have lost ourselves and abandoned ourselves for Him, that He may find us, that He may allow us to find our purpose, to find our provision. And so tonight, when it comes to the Christian life, there's crosses and there's losses. I know you could testify as well at those times in life where you just had to abandon your human reasoning. You just had to wake up, pick up your cross, and follow Him. You didn't like what you were facing, but you did it. And it either has paid off, or there's something on the inside telling you it will pay off. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it will pay off. He, the Lord, is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. Galatians 6:9 says, "For us to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That's the message tonight, crosses and losses. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for the good liberty tonight to teach. Lord, I pray that we would just glean from it. We would put it into shoe leather, starting with me. I'm the one who needs to practice what he preaches. And I am fully aware of that. I know that intimately. Every time I share a word from Your Word, God, that I'm to be first partaker. And so, Father, I pray that we would all follow You, be with all the prayer requests. Lord, we praise You for what You have done and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray tonight. Amen. And amen. All right. Anything else to mention? Y'all have been great listeners tonight. And class is dismissed. Have a great evening. Meet us back here Sunday morning.